Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Take it. Allen looking. Waits. The patience. Allen turns the corner and he will toss it.
That's from the wild card romp
against the Patriots.
A little chilly that night at the ballpark, at the old stadium.
It was a wonderful night.
The old yard.
Wonderful night.
Did you take your shirt off at any point and celebrate? Like fits or anything?
No, like I did not. I definitely did not do that. It would have taken a long time to take my shirt off because my shirt was underneath
layers.
Seven other layers.
Yeah, smart move.
Takes a lot of time to do that. Hey, so scheduling stuff for the Bills.
Yes, they
play Thursday night this week. We know that. So it's another prime time game for the Bills. Locally, it's on Channel 7. It's on Amazon Prime. If you don't have Prime, every week this comes up, if you get Twitch, which is another app, you can watch these games for free on Twitch.
And so for you listeners, say, in Rochester, you are not considered the home market.
Right.
You won't get it on your local ABC station in Rochester. You'd have to either have Prime or use Twitch to get it.
Yes.
Whereas we'll have it on Channel 7.
So Thursday night this week, Sal went through this a little bit, and he's been told that the Dolphins game, or he's got information, I should say, that the Dolphins game will likely be, I should say, will not likely be some 1 o'clock
no,
game.
No, it would be a night game either Saturday
or Sunday
on NFL Network, or if they give it up, then Sunday on NBC.
Yeah, so you could probably plan on Bills-Dolphins being a primetime game, moved into a primetime slot at the stadium for Saturday or Sunday night.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and...
I think so.
I think I'm rooting for Saturday there.
I'm good with a Saturday night game. Yes, I'd much prefer that.
Let's check the weather first before we pick. But what do you have? You've got news here on the on the Jets game?
Yeah, so Greg Rosenthal tweeted this out yesterday. He works for NFL Network, NFL.com. And his tweet was, NBC will likely flex out of Chiefs-Broncos for Week 14.
Thank everyone.
I did not think they would do that either.
Right. I mean, Mahomes is automatic watch.
Wow, that's funny. You guys, that sense of relief in your voice a moment ago, Joe, was
so good.
Seriously, if you're the Broncos, this has to be a look-in-the-mirror moment, maybe above all others. You're telling me they're taking Mahomes out of primetime because of us?
Yeah.
That's pretty bad.
How about this? So the Broncos, as bad as their offense was, earlier this season they're averaging 16 points a game. We're talking about it being historically bad. It's dropped. They're now averaging 14 points a game. Amazing that you could be that bad and yet still see a drop in your average scoring.
They're a quarterback away.
Well, they maybe used to be. Their defense was, is it still as good? I mean, they of course traded Bradley Chubb, and Baron Browning, who's a stud for them, was hurt.
I think the defense is still really good.
Okay.
So he tweets that. Now, so I had to check and make sure, what's the time frame? Like, when they want to flex a game out of Sunday night and move one in there, there's got to be advance notice. It's got to be no later than the Tuesday, 12 days prior to the night they're flexing the game.
So today.
Today is the Tuesday, 12 days prior. So if they're moving Chiefs-Broncos, they have to announce that today.
Is there a rule about how many primetime games you can have?
There is, but I don't know the rule. Sal, if you're listening, text us. I'm not sure how that factors in flex games.
Right.
Like, we know you're limited to a number of games when the schedule comes out.
And I thought that number was six.
Six or five?
Okay, maybe it's five.
I don't know. I got to check this out.
But right, there's a limit, and the Bills-Dolphins game was not included in that limit.
We think that's going to be flexed.
I think that's going to go to primetime. if that game's going to primetime, I think the Bills-Jets game can't go to prime. What about 4 o'clock? Could we get one of those windows?
Right, the Bills are playing the Jets, and he didn't suggest which game they would pick, although he did say the Jets haven't played on Sunday night since 2011. They faced the Bills that week. So the other games, if they're flexing a game in, I think your best bets are Philadelphia at the Giants.
That's a great idea.
Now, the Giants are third in the NFC East, but still, they're both in the playoff spot right now, and you have Jalen Hurts.
I do.
You got the New York market.
I wonder if Philadelphia is approaching their flex limit.
Yeah, I got to look. I didn't look at
their... Or their primetime limit. They're in primetime a lot.
Baltimore's playing Pittsburgh? No. I mean, a few years ago, that would have been one. Miami at the Chargers.
That's good.
That's a really good game, and the Chargers are still trying to, you know, stay in the playoff race. We know about Miami. Tampa Bay at San Francisco. It should be a battle of two first-place teams.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean Tampa's good, but they should be leading their division. It's Brady. San Francisco in first place in their division. I think those are your... So, Bills-Jets, Tampa-San Francisco, Miami-Chargers, Philly-Giants. I think, again, not doing the homework on how many other night games this team has and the behind-the-scenes stuff. Would Fox want to give up the Philly-Giants game? It would be CBS giving up the other game, the Miami-LA, Fox has Tampa. So this is just, hey, guys, what looks like the matchup where NBC would go, we want that game, without all the other rules in play.
The Eagles have played 5 primetime games.
Already?
Yes, but they don't have another one on the schedule.
Okay.
But what are do the Eagles have another game that looks flex-worthy?
Titans this week.
Yeah. They have a Cowboys game coming up, a second one.
At the Cowboys, that's Christmas Eve Saturday.
Okay. Ooh.
Fox is probably not. That's a 4:25 game.
Yeah.
That's probably Fox's to keep. And then there's a Saints-Bears game. The Giants again, final week of the season.
Saints-Bears has to go.
What? Oh, I'm sorry. The Eagles play the Saints play the Bears.
Gotcha.
So not really. There really isn't another obvious one for them.
Is there a Christmas night game? There are games Christmas Day, right?
That's a good question. I'll have to look.
This is one of those moments where we're all looking and we're actually supposed to be talking about what's going on. And let's see. What do you got? Anything? Week 16, I think that is, right? Yeah, it's week 16.
Here we go. Week 16 NFL schedule. There is. Yes.
Tampa's playing Arizona.
Yeah, Buccaneers at Cardinals.
That's got to go.
So you could, in theory, if Fox is willing to give it up, and I don't think they would want to, I would assume the league is going to try and twist Fox's arm. You'd want Philadelphia and Dallas on Sunday Night Football.
Right. That might be one of those ones, though, where they can protect it.
Yeah.
Because that is – the 4:25 window is usually – that's Fox's big game of the week. So are they –
That's a huge ratings game for them.
Yeah, because otherwise, Bengals-Patriots maybe is an option for that week. There are a couple other good games on the schedule. Seahawks and Chiefs that week. You could just put the Chiefs on every week, I guess.
Except when they're playing Denver.
Yeah, that's how bad Denver is.
Denver would be just 8-3 if they scored 18 points in every game this year.
Unbelievable.
So, Howard, you were not here yesterday.
It's maximum of five primetime games when the schedule comes
out. Okay, then you can go beyond that. Sure.
Yeah.
A thought for John Brown to the practice squad. Is it moved the needle for you?
Not really. I mean, he wasn't, since he left, wasn't really doing a hell of a lot.
Right. Let me ask you this.
You've got a veteran guy in the building. That's pretty much it. If you got to go, it's not Tanner Gentry. No offense, Tanner, if you're listening. Sorry, buddy. But you have a guy who has been in the NFL, has played with Josh Allen, has been, in multiple systems and can actually maybe make some plays if you break glass in case of emergency. You got a veteran guy. It's a body.
Yeah.
This is not Odell Beckham. It doesn't move my needle, the fact that John Brown's here. I don't think he's all of a sudden going to dress and, save the Bills' passing game down the stretch.
No, the Chiefs made two moves. They brought in Melvin Gordon,
who
fumbles all the time. And I think it's just, kind of washed. They also brought in Bryan Edwards, who was let go by the Raiders. So the Chiefs, I am always looking at the Chiefs' moves, what they've done. They brought in Kadarius Toney at the deadline, of course. Bills brought in Nyheim Hines. Is the John Brown move anything other than what it's just depth?
Yeah.
Joe and I talked yesterday, the wild card year, whichever year, they brought in Kenny Stills, and he never played.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, right? Kenny Stills came in and never played. I think John Brown's going to play, right? He's going to get elevated. He's going to play. At least maybe I'm a little bit wishful there. I don't know what he's got left in the tank. I can't decide if it's somebody that I think they're going to get in and try and get to contribute, or if it's someone that is just a name we recognize.
I think I would gravitate towards the latter.
Okay. Because the biggest question about bringing in John Brown, if he does play, if he gets in the lineup and he plays, I'm not trying to like write off Khalil Shakir's career here, but doesn't that have to say something about Shakir and whether or not he's picking up the offense or he can play on the outside? And the Bills did say that about him when they drafted him. He's got flexibility to move to the outside. It's not really happened. I mean, he barely gets targeted as it is. Does he not have Allen's trust? Is he not sitting in the zones in the right spots? Like, you drafted a rookie and he impressed a lot of people. And you've brought in another guy off the, you know, off the street, like you just said, who wasn't doing anything.
Yep.
Is he going to walk in and go right past Shakir on the depth chart?
The only thing I would say, when I first saw the move, I thought immediately it's insurance protection for anybody going down. Like, you're sitting here talking about what numbers are left at wide receiver. You know, they were running out of bodies. And, you know, so Tanner Gentry is elevated off the practice squad. So my first thought was he is veteran injury insurance. If Diggs gets hurt or McKenzie gets hurt or Davis gets hurt, you have John Brown in some kind of capacity here. So I didn't think he was coming in to just get up to speed, ramp him up, boom, he's in the regular starting lineup. I thought he would be like, if somebody gets hurt. The Shakir thing to me, you actually made me think about this too. Like the whole concept of the Bills trusting rookies. And, you know, Cook, you know, he was going up in a good direction there and then maybe a little bit of a step back. Like Thursday's a big game. Is Hines going to get more touches on offense behind Singletary because they don't trust the rookies? They don't want Cook playing a role in the big game. Shakir, I think, is probably partly, you know, I think McDermott is very hesitant to give rookies key roles like that.
Maybe. Shakir, when asked to do stuff, has been
He's
okay.
He's made some catches, yes.
And same with Cook. You know, I'm thinking back to, we're going to talk to Don Granato today, right? 8 o'clock?
Yes.
I'm thinking back to Granato and his statement about young players, how...
That's right.
Hey, young guys make mistakes, so do veterans, but when it's a young guy, we look at it more, and there's no reason to really do that. So,
but he talks about throwing guys into the deep end. Like, you don't just let them put their toes in the pool, throw them in.
Right, and the two teams are obviously in greatly different spots. Mm-hmm. Granato is trying to bring along young players to be a good team, and McDermott's trying to be the best team in football and win the Super Bowl. So, you know, he doesn't have time to mess around with guys while they learn on the job. We're going to get somebody in there that can do it. That said, Shakir and Cook have not been contributing probably to the level you thought they would. Mm-hmm. Hines, like you said, is a veteran since they brought him in. He's not been a big part of their offense. You know, trying to figure out who it's going to be. I just think back to them saying Shakir could play outside. He hasn't. They said Crowder could. He never did.
Yeah.
Like this idea that they had these pieces that were movable, and this is true of the running back conversation too. It's why the offense to me is a bit puzzling. That's what I want to keep saying. It still appears to be good and looking to find its finer edges or whatever. Because hey, Cook can do all these different things. How many different things has he done? Hines can do all these different. How many different things has he done? He's returned kicks. So you've got what you sold as these parts that can move around, and that just doesn't seem to be happening on the level that at least I expected.
That's why I think maybe this is finally the game where we see Hines get more touches. Because I think they would lean more towards a veteran guy than a rookie. And, you know, of course, Singletary would still be the number one back, but I'm looking at another option in the offense. Yeah, I'm going to say it would still be John Brown as kind of insurance if anybody gets hurt, unless for some reason, like you suggested a moment ago, unless for some reason they're worried about Shakir, that they don't think they can trust him in the games or whatever. He's not picking up things. I think John Brown's not going to really do, I don't expect him to do much, except be here just in case. Because, you know, his numbers had dropped significantly, right? And he was kind of kicking around after his Bills career, trying to hang on. He was home waiting for a call. The Bills called. I just don't think that means he's coming in here. And all of a sudden, is he the number four target, I guess? Would we say he would jump into the fourth slot? He's not going to supplant McKenzie. He's certainly not supplanting Diggs or Davis. I think he plays if somebody gets hurt. You know, and I'm not sure how quickly he'll be ready to play.
Well, then in that case, you don't think this takes them out of the Beckham?
No, I don't think so. I hope it doesn't take him out of the Beckham. I wouldn't. I would still be in it full bore if I were the Bills. Again, if you need to turn to another receiver to come in at the end of the regular season and be in the playoffs, and you have two choices.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
So, honestly, no, that's why I said I don't. It doesn't. It should not take them out of this.
Maybe Brown is a depth guy that keeps their, because a team that brings in Beckham, depending on how it works, could they sign him and then IR him for 4 weeks?
Yeah.
Something like that.
I assume you could do that. He'd have to miss at least four games, yeah.
Waiting for news on that. It feels like as we get to December, this was supposed to have happened by now.
With the Giants Thursday, okay. I think, so is his first visit.
One would think that maybe within the next week we get an answer to where he goes. A lot of the Vegas books have put Dallas as the big, big favorite.
Yep. Yeah, it seems to be gathering some steam. But yeah, who knows? If they have Brown and if they get Beckham, Shakir would probably not even be active anymore. Maybe they just load up those guys and go with the veteran guys in their passing game. But yeah, I'm curious to see. It is such a huge game Thursday night. And you got to anticipate. Like, one of the many storylines for Thursday, of course, is going to be, New England. I'm sure they're going to try everything in their power to take Diggs out of the game, first and foremost. Now, first, good luck with that, because J.C. Jackson couldn't do it. But they're going to try and take Diggs out. All right, so let's say...
Their new guy is Jack Jones. He's pretty good.
Jonathan? No, wait a minute. Who's their... Look it up, because I don't remember which guy I'm talking about.
I always want to say it's Jack Johnson. I know it's not. I think it's Jack Jones. Is their new young stud corner.
Yeah, look, they got younger, they got faster.
No, you're right, it's Jonathan. No, okay.
No, that's the other corner.
Sorry, there's a Jonathan Jones and a Jack Jones.
That's the guy you're talking about, Jack Jones. Right, because Jonathan Jones has been there.
Yes.
So they got a little faster, even though they got younger in the secondary. I'm sure they're going to try and take Diggs out first and foremost. If they're able to do that, this is one of the questions for Thursday. Let's say Diggs has a quiet game. Let's say it's the first three quarters against Detroit, and they're able to negate him. What are you doing on offense? Does McKenzie come up big like he did?
Is it a McKenzie crosser game?
That's what made me think about Shakir. Right. Maybe McKenzie against their zone, So, or maybe, is it possible Shakir does play a role? If they negate Diggs, now you're talking, okay, that's Davis, McKenzie, Shakir are your other three receivers in this game. So I'm curious to see how he plays. I don't think they're going to be able to take Diggs out of the game. I really don't. They've been eaten up by some of the top receivers. Justin Jefferson had a big game against them in Minnesota. So I don't think they're going to be successful doing that. I don't think we'll see a lot of Shakir. I think it's going to be leaning heavily on Diggs, Davis, and McKenzie and Knox as your top four targets. And then pick a running back, either Singletary or probably Hines. I think Hines will get more snaps than Cook Thursday night. 803-0550 to join us. 888-552-550. Sal's on the way. We'll talk more Bills football with him. And a reminder, TSO is coming back, Trans-Siberian Orchestra, with their Ghosts of Christmas Eve show. And that's going to be at KeyBank Center Thursday, December 22nd for two shows, one at 3 and one at 7:30. If you'd like to get tickets, they're available right now at Ticketmaster.com.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio, Sal Capaccio,
on WGR.
Talking football with Sal Capaccio, who joins us on the Western Hotline, a segment brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the best place to buy a case. What's your outlet? 803-0550, you got a Bills question, comment, opinion, you can join us in right now. By the way, let me finish up the good morning, Sal. I'm going to just bring in Sal and say good morning to Sal here.
Hi, good morning, how are you guys?
Good, we were going through the primetime rules. So, five max... You can have sixth game. Don't worry, I looked it up.
Yeah.
Five maximum primetime games when the schedule comes out. You can have a sixth game flexed. You can have a seventh game, but it's only if it's in the final regular season game that can be flexed into the
And the Bills had five, so they can have one flexed.
Right, they have five, including New England and Cincinnati coming.
Yep.
And if we think that Miami is going to be a night game, whether it's Saturday or Sunday, that would be six. So I don't think they're flexing the Bills Jets game.
That's the limit outside of
the final game of the season against New England could be flexed into a primetime slot.
Okay.
Yeah, I looked into it a little bit, just kind of poked around, and I was told you never say never, but highly unlikely Jets Bills would be flexed. But again, never say never, right? I mean, so I don't think so. But I mean I guess that could happen. I think especially considering we are expecting that Dolphins game to probably be a Saturday night or Sunday night in some capacity. Yep. And if that's the case, then you're not going to do Jets, as you guys just alluded to. So I think we're on for Sunday at 1 o'clock, December 11th. But I guess until we get official word, we'll wait and see on that.
Sal, I want to ask, of course, go into the injury report with you. And, you know, we get little text messages from the Bills, right, when they're tweeting out their injury report. And I got to tell you, been too many weeks, Sal, where I'm afraid to open the link and look at, you know, LTD, DNP. Yeah. This was one of the injury reports. Like it feels like it's been one of the happier injury reports in a long time, with a lot of the guys that we're worried about practicing full.
Yeah, I think the injury report to this week is even like kind of shock when you look at the number of names again, yeah. Right? But it's more about the number of names than it really is anything else. Because if you really dig into it, guys, it's not as bad as it seems, because only two players actually did not practice yesterday due to injury. And that is Von Miller, who we know is not going to play in this game, and Deion Dawkins with his ankle. Other than that, there were five others who did not practice due to illness. Unfortunately, a couple of those were added onto the list yesterday who were not on from Sunday's practice. Eight guys missed Sunday due to illness. Well, that was not an official injury report. That was just given to us from Sean McDermott. First official report came yesterday. Eight guys missed on Sunday. They got a few of them back, but then a couple more added. But overall, five guys missed yesterday due to illness, only two due to injury. And actually, I think if you even go further and look, wait a minute, let's look at who is practicing. You got four very, very important players on this team who all practiced in full yesterday, who did not even play in the game last week. We're talking about Tremaine Edmonds, middle linebacker, center Mitch Morse, and defensive ends, both Greg Rousseau and AJ Epenesa. All four missed the game Thursday. All four were full participants. And on top of that, Josh Allen, for the first time since injuring his elbow on November 6th, was a full participant in practice yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, you know, let's start with offense and we'll go to defense. Sure, Allen getting into his normal routine and able to practice fully, although, again, it's a Thursday game week, not a Sunday, is big. Morse is huge, especially when you look at Deion Dawkins not practicing, and you'd like to have, you know, at least your starting center in there if you're down your left tackle, because the Patriots defense is good at a pass rush and good at generating sacks, and it'd be great to have, you know, your best guy in there in the middle of the offensive line, of course, with the left tackle maybe out. And guess what? The right tackle's struggling. That's a tough matchup against Matthew Judon on Thursday night.
No doubt about it. And you still have a few days left here. We've seen guys miss a couple of days and, you know, get to practice and practice late in the week and then play. I think that happened with Tremaine Edmonds a few weeks ago. Unfortunately, he actually hurt himself when he did play in the game then and landed back on the injury report. But I wouldn't, you know, discount that possibility with Deion Dawkins at this point. We'll talk with Sean McDermott this morning,
yep.
10 a.m. on the Extra Point Show. Now, because it's not last day of the injury report, tomorrow is, my guess is he wouldn't, you know, rule anybody in or out specifically today. I don't know that. Because he still has another day to even do that for both competitive purposes and because it's still a little bit early. But, you know, maybe he'll give us an idea of what we're looking at with Deion. Maybe he does practice today. Maybe he'll give us a heads up on that before they head out there. They do have a practice today, and then tomorrow I'm sure they'll do some sort of, you know, walkthrough in the morning or something before getting on the plane to go to New England. On Josh, I want to clarify, too. He was a full participant. He is listed on the injury report with a right elbow. So what that means is he's still getting treatment in some capacity, but he still took his normal workload, 100% of his normal reps in practice. It's the same thing with Tremaine. He's listed as groin, heel. It's the same thing Greg Rousseau with his ankle. They all are receiving treatment in some capacity, but they all took their normal 100% of their normal reps in practice.
How important would it be to get Edmonds back fully for this game?
Oh, it's really important against this team. I mean, they're going to want to run the ball. That's what their identity is. You know, they did a nice job throwing it last week against the Minnesota Vikings. I thought Mac Jones looked good. I thought they played well. Obviously, they didn't have enough in the end. They scored 26 points still, but that's who the Patriots are. The Patriots want to run the ball. We know that. They don't have the, you know, high-level playmakers on the outside, but they have nice receivers. They have good receivers. It's about quality versus, you know, quantity for them. I'm sorry, quantity versus quality for them, and I shouldn't say it that way because they're nice. Jacoby Myers is a nice player. By the way, he was limited in practice yesterday as well. But they have good players. Ramondre Stevenson is basically James White for them now, guys. Everything we remember James White being for the New England Patriots, all you have to do now is think about Ramondre Stevenson. That's who he is for the Patriots. They're going to try and run the ball. They're going to go heavy personnel a lot of times. And the Bills have to respond to that. stop me if you've heard this before. It's going to be really windy. It's going to be not 60 miles an hour, But we're talking about, you know, 20-mile-an-hour mm-hmm. winds, maybe 30-mile-an-hour gusts.
Yeah.
Remember last year, obviously, Belichick said, okay, I'm not even throwing the ball. I'm just going to run the ball. I don't think we're looking at that situation, but it still is a situation where they're going to want to run it. Now, them without Damian Harris is big.
Yep.
He's their second-leading rusher. And beyond that, beyond Ramondre Stevenson, they don't have anybody who runs the ball other than handing it to wide receivers or Mac Jones taking off with it every once in a while. So that's a really big deal for them that he's out. But Stevenson will do everything. Ramondre Stevenson leads the Patriots in receptions with 50 on the year right now.
You know, and I think the run defense too, Sal, on that point, obviously it's been better of late. You know, it had a rough play against Minnesota, a rough series against the Jets, but against Cleveland and Detroit, two good rushing teams, they shut down Chubb, and they kept Detroit in check too. So I think, and amidst all this injury stuff, the interior of the defense at least is healthy. Your defensive tackles, who are a big part of this run defense, they're fine. So I'm not as worried about that matchup as some might be. I think, you know, the Bills' run defense has been good and should be good to go, mostly, right? Good to go against them Thursday night, against Stevenson specifically.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see, obviously, where everything progresses with some of these defensive ends like Rousseau and Epinesa. You know, obviously, yep. They're still dealing with something, but obviously that would really help. And then if you can get Tremaine Edmonds back in the middle of your lineup, I mean, that's a huge boost. And let's remember, they do have A.J. Klein now, right? And he played really well, I thought, last week filling in. So you have that option. I remember last year, I think it might have been last year, the game in New England where the Bills were really doing. I remember that game, guys. I mean, that was some chess going on.
Yeah,
that was coaching.
That's
that
right.
That was a lot of personnel matching up on both sides of the ball. Every time their fullback came in, Saran Neal came in, I think it was. Every time they had an extra lineman come in, another guy came. It was just back and forth. It was really cool on the sidelines to watch kind of that matchup when you're watching both sidelines looking at each other and kind of going, okay, who's in there and putting up what number personnel. And, you know, so fans know sometimes when you're at a game, when you watch on TV and you see somebody on the sidelines putting up numbers on the sidelines, that's what personnel the other team is in, the offense is in. So now your defense knows what to match up in, and that will tell whoever's supposed to be in that particular package to be on the field and where to line up and stuff like that.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
And that was just going on all game, which was really cool.
That's a great point. I forgot about that, Sal, because that was a nice adjustment the Bills made from the first matchup where they ran against them, whether it was the fullback or extra tight end or extra offensive lineman, right? They used an extra offensive lineman a lot when they had that big game running, and the Bills adjusted. I mean, it's the discussion of, you know, how often would you want to get out a nickel? You know, would you want three linebackers out there and have Teron Johnson not out there? And it's kind of, you're right, I love that chess match back and forth. And the Bills did a good job of adjusting their defense in that second regular season game against New England.
Yeah, for sure. And you don't want to get out of nickel because Teron Johnson is really,
really good.
And obviously, you know, you're losing a really nice cover player. But the Bills did last week, too, a little bit. They did use three linebackers a few times. They've done it. They're willing to do it. I think in this game, they probably are going to be willing to do it. You know, but again, the Patriots can throw the ball a little bit. They're not afraid to do it. Mac Jones had a nice game last week. I think he's a nice player. He's not Josh Allen, but he's somebody who's usually not going to put them in really bad situations or mistakes. He manages the game, and then he makes a few throws here or there. You know where the Patriots have been really bad this year? They're the second worst team in the red zone. We talk about the Bills' struggles, guys.
Yeah.
The Patriots are far, far worse. The only team worse than the Patriots in the red zone is the Denver Broncos this year. That's how bad they've been. They can't score once they get inside, which isn't that weird for a team that is mostly running and, you know, tries to play heavy on you and things like that. Like, it just hasn't gone well there. So that's an area where, you know, the Bills are going to have to take advantage and hope that, you know, once New England gets down there, just hold them to field goals. And then the Bills actually obviously want to reverse that script in their own right, like they did last week. They went 3 of 4 in the red zone against the Lions. They'd like to do something like that again this week.
Sal, where are the Bills at? We covered the physical aspect of things. Mentally, two things. The way they had to hold serve, we knew that. They had to hold serve against Cleveland and Detroit. They did. We knew what was coming up on the backside after Cleveland and Detroit, the critical three-game stretch in the division. So whether it's how you think they are playing right now or state of mind, mental attitude going into this critical stretch, how would you say the Bills are right now?
I would say this. I never can get concerned or worried about the Bills' mental state of mind with this regime and under Sean McDermott and what we've seen. Are there times where they've gone out and you think, you know, they didn't have it today or whatever? Sure, that can happen. I think, you know, that happened in Jacksonville last year, or maybe against Indy last year, maybe, you know, second half of the Jets, whatever. I mean, those things happen. The other team gets paid too. You say that, and it's a long season. It's a grind. But I think that, to me, and, you know, Eric Wood makes this point all the time. So I'll say it the way he says it, basically, but I agree with him. But, you know, obviously he played for Sean McDermott. He always says Sean McDermott is the most consistent human being he's ever been around in his life. And that's the way I see Sean, like, every day, the way he treats this team, the way they go through a season, which is they don't get too high, they don't get too low. They have their process, you know, pardon me, but, you know, that's what it is. They have their process that they have every single day where they show up and they have a certain way of doing things. And whether they are in first place or last place, or they're 10-point favorites or 10-point underdogs, or they're in a critical division game or a non-conference game, they're going to prepare the same way. Now, they'll tell you, of course, they understand how important division games are. They know that. Josh Allen talked about it. They're already 0-2 in the division. They know that. But I would never, like, think that they'd be of fragile mind. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
I think, if anything, they understand the importance of a game like this. It doesn't mean that they're going to always guaranteed to play their best football in a game like this. But mentally, yeah, this is a long season, and it always is. And let's remember, last year, they were 7-6 after 13 games. They're 8-3 right now after 11. They were 7-4 last year after 11, and then they lost two more games. So, you know, they've been through it, and then they worked their way back, you know, last year and still wound up winning the division. So everything this team wants is basically still in front of them. They know that. They know it's a long season, and I don't worry about their mental state at all.
All right, quick reminder. So Sean McDermott around top of the hour with you, right?
Yeah, you know, he has some production stuff to do. It's a national television game this week, so I know he's got some of that to do. So, you know, I was told be ready right around 10 o'clock. But, you know, we always know that these things could be adjusted a little bit. So I just want everybody to be ready at 10 o'clock when the extra point starts. We literally could have him as soon as the show starts, or maybe we'll get into it for a few minutes. But we are expecting him sometime in the first half hour at the latest. But I think it's going to be earlier rather than later today, so everybody can be ready for that.
You're going to need the show on before you to get out on time. Good luck with that.
Yeah, hey, you guys can stick around. Maybe, you know, just have the reads ready, you know, if you guys can kind of talk to McDermott.
We can do that. You know? Yeah, we've done it. We've been there, done that. We can handle it.
You've done that before, for sure. By the way, did you know today is Stephon Diggs' birthday?
Happy birthday. Okay, yeah. Happy birthday there, Mr. Diggs.
But I usually don't bring stuff up like this, but it showed up like on my Twitter feed this morning, a bunch of celebrity birthdays, and on top of that, there was a football birthdays, and so Diggs was in the football birthdays. He's 29 today, by the way. But then on the celebrity birthdays today, like, holy cow. Don Cheadle, Mariano Rivera, Vin Scully, Chadwick Boseman, who we lost too soon. Like, today's a birthday day, man.
That's some big names.
Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson?
Probably want to
Anna Faris?
Scratch him off that birthday. I mean, it's really not been a fun year. Probably skip him now. All right, sir. We will. Well, thank you, as always, for your time, and we will listen for you with the Extra Point Show.
You got it, guys.
Thank you, Sal. Sal, brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the best place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Jerry the King Lawler.
Oh, love Jerry the King Lawler.
Jerry Lawler.
What was I watching? It was like a behind the scenes with Jim Carrey when he was filming the movie about Andy Kaufman.
Yeah.
It's freaky. You should watch it. It basically, you know, Jim Carrey got into character, never left character. Like, he was him, not just when they're filming scenes. Get in the makeup trailer, the whole time. He was in character as him and the crazy second guy, this alter ego. It's a little strange. He did a good job of the role, but he didn't get out of character offset, and it was very odd.
That's method acting, right?
He took it to an extreme.
Where people will get a role and live their life as that person for...
But he was making a lot of people angry because he was playing Andy Kaufman,
yeah.
And he took it and went with it, and it was... Woof. Anyway, yeah, okay, so thank you.
Happy birthday, Jerry Lawler, 72.
Anyway, the stuff with Lawler and the whole, you know, on the Letterman show and all the stuff that went down with Lawler was really kind of fascinating to see all over again. 803-0550 to join us.
73.
Don Granato coming up top of the hour, WGR.
You know, our focus is on this match. And, you know, I don't want to sound aloof or not caring by saying that, but, you know, the guys have worked really hard for the last 4 years. We have 72 hours between England and Iran, and we really are just focused on how to get past Iran, that we can go to this knockout stage of the tournament. Of course, our thoughts are with the Iranian people, the whole country, the whole team, everyone, but our focus is on this match.
U.S. coach Greg Berhalter, head of U.S. and Iran, at 2 p.m. today for a shot in the knockout stage. The World Cup, you know, it is odd that it's in November, and I'm feeling that it's odd that it's in November.
Yeah,
because these games are just kind of sandwiched in with the rest of our very busy lives,
right.
And the Premier League taking a break all the leagues taking a break for the World Cup right here. Joe, you're a soccer fan too, so like you might speak to this a little bit more than you, Howard. I mean, you're watching as a, you know, fringe fan.
Yeah.
The results have been odd. There have been weird upsets. Mm-hmm. I think it's pretty easy to say these teams are not exactly at their best. It's almost like throwing together the biggest tournament in the world on short notice, even though they had 12 years to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I think the whole in November thing is generally detrimental to the actual product.
You're getting more upsets, though.
Yeah,
couldn't that be a good thing for the casual fan?
No, that means it's randomness. If it's all upsets, that means that it's more random. I mean, what I want to do is crown the best team And if everybody showed up and the best teams weren't ready and they're fluky kind of wins, then I don't think it's better for, I mean, for the casual fan, I don't know.
I do think we'll probably still get there because the group stage, it not being, you know, it not being March Madness where the favorite loses one game and boom, they're out. Like Argentina got a crazy upset handed to them by Saudi Arabia, and they're probably still going to go through, and they'll still be in contention to go all the way. And who else got upset that will be in this? Germany? Well, Germany might be dead. There was another one that got upset. I don't know. But either way, I think you're still going to have most of the good teams that are going to get through.
Is it normally... World Cup's only played in the summer. Is that before most of the league seasons begin? Is it possible that because this is now inside league seasons and all, why there's upsets or why stuff is going crazy?
These teams were out playing with their club, players, with their clubs until, like, what, 2 weeks before they went to Doha and went to Qatar. So, yeah, it's still, you know, it's still the World Cup, but I'm going to go ahead and say they should not do it in November again.
Well, this was a one-time thing, right?
Because
of the location.
Right.
So I would assume that, like, in, it's North America's hosting the next one, right?
Yes.
Mexico or
U.S.,
Canada,
Mexico.
All
all three.
So we won't have to worry about
There'll be World Cup games in Toronto.
In the summer.
Drivable.
Nice.
And the time zone thing will work nicely as well. Summer, primetime games.
Yes, that's right. When there's nothing else really happening in sports.
Yeah.
I do like at least that if this one was going to be in the fall, in the winter, that it's in the morning.
That might be true, yeah.
All of it's in the morning.
For the ratings numbers of it, USA England pulled down the same rating that Michigan Ohio State did last year.
Yeah.
Wow. Didn't this year Michigan Ohio State went above and beyond, but last year's Michigan Ohio State game was 15.8 million viewers and the USA England was 15.3. Pretty good.
Is Ohio State getting a berth in the knockout stage because they're Ohio State?
This is what we got rolling.
I don't want to get
yesterday.
To Jeremy's sore spot here. But
did you see Rich Eisen's rant on this?
No, I saw the tweet. I didn't have a chance
to
listen to it.
It's very, very good. Yeah. Rich Eisen must have gone to Michigan.
He's a Michigan guy.
Okay, good, because he's referring to Michigan as we, which you're allowed to do.
Yeah, he is. He's a grad.
He's a Michigan guy.
Yeah.
He had 8 minutes on Ohio State-Michigan, and it was glorious performance art. The number one thing that I thought he made a point was, you know how great it is for Ohio State fans, as for someone that is a Michigan fan and went to Michigan. For 15 years, you've been told you don't matter. Mm-hmm. You're not even on their level.
Right.
And now, Ohio State needing to say, no, we should still be in the playoff because Michigan's so good.
Yeah.
That's a quality loss. Yeah, that's how they get in. Like, no, we should still be let in. It's Michigan. It's just too good.
Yeah, it's not a world they've lived in.
It's really a beautiful turn of events for Michigan fans.
Don Granato coming up in a moment. 803-0550 to join us. Bills fans, how are you feeling? The big three-game stretch starts Thursday. New England, the Jets, the Dolphins. How do you think they're prepared for the critical stretch of the season? How are you feeling about the Bills going into this critical stretch? You can let us know. Anything else you want to get to? Great. Phone lines are open to join us. Hey, let's give away some stuff. On the way to break here, we have tickets to go see Foreigner, the farewell tour with special guest Loverboy. This is going to be on July 28th at Darien Lake Amp... 2023?
Yeah, that's next year.
That's next year. That's in a month.
No, that's right. Oh my God, we're in December.
31 days.
November, December. It threw me. 2023 threw me. I felt like it's 2 years away. All right. Anyway, yes. Friday, July 28, 2023. Courtesy of Live Nation. Joe's going to clear out the lines and take caller number 5 at 221-4947. Again, 221-4947. Caller 5 to win the tickets. If you don't win them, the tickets are on sale right now at Ticketmaster.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.